There might be fewer players, but there's never a lack of exciting action. This is the statewide Idaho 8-Man Prepcast with Brandon Bainey and Paul Kingsbury.
That's right. It is another edition of the Idaho 8-Man Prepcast on idahosports.com, where we're talking about the 8-Man football action in both 1AD1 and 1AD2. At this point, Paul Kingsbury, he's fired. Seriously.
Pretty much. Yep.
Yeah. Brandon Bainey with Will Henneke once again. Paul's just, as the managing editor at idahosports.com, he's got a lot on his plates. And so it's hard to fit him in sometimes. So Will, we appreciate you stepping in.
I figured he was just looking for his Mountain Dew hat and couldn't find it. So he refused to come on. I mean, some sort of name, image, likeness deal that he had drawn up.
Yeah. Well, we all know who the biggest diva amongst the idahosports.com crew is, right?
And that's Yes.
The guy who signs the checks, unfortunately.
Yeah. And as long as he signs the checks, he gets to be a little bit diva-ish.
Right. Of course, we're kidding. When Paul goes back and watches this, he'll know that we're kidding. So, Brandon Bainey with Will Henneke. Let's dive right into it. Let's start with the 1AD1 football action, because there's a lot to talk about simply because of the way the playoffs are structured, right? The five district champions automatically get in, and then 6 through 12 is all determined via the at-large Max Preps rankings.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you look at them, and without knowing the mathematical equation, it's hard to know how attainable some of these spots are for certain teams. Like, we know Oakley and Raft River play Friday night. That's going to be a fantastic football game. One of them's going to get the automatic bid from District 4. The other one's going to get an at-large bid. We know that. When you get a little further down the list, that's where it gets a little bit more complicated. You look at, I'm trying to figure out, and again, it's not questioning, it's a lack of understanding, how Wilder at 5-2 is below Lighthouse Christian, Clearwater Valley, Glens Ferry on the Max Preps rankings. I mean, it could make perfectly logical sense if you know the formula, but you don't. So you don't know, for example, if you really map it out, it looks like you have Genesee, Potlatch, Clearwater Valley, who are somewhat battling for two spots. Genesee's record is much better. So what is it? Strength of schedule? Is it head to head? How does it all factor in? And that's what we don't know. And then you get into some of those wild cards, which we can, we can discuss further. But I mean, if you're Lighthouse Christian, you love the fact that you haven't won a game yet, but you're still in the conversation. You know what I mean? You still have a chance. You got to win a game. You probably need some help. And I don't know what form that help would need, but it makes for good fodder for guys like you and me to talk about. And it's good incentive for some coach saying, hey, let's improve our spot here. We're not locked into this line on the sheet. Let's improve our outlook.
Yeah, I think all I've figured out with the Max Preps ratings thus far is it is better to play good teams and lose than it is to play quote unquote softer teams and win, but only at your level. So, for example, like Notice earlier this year played 1AD2 Horseshoe Bend, which we know using the eye test, Will, is a really good football team.
Correct, yeah.
The computer doesn't recognize that. The computer says, oh, they're 1AD2. You're supposed to win that game because you're 1AD1, and you didn't. You're going to get penalized for that. So it's a strength of schedule, but it's also an expected outcome algorithm as well. And that's really that's the only reason I can think why Lighthouse Christian, because they've played Oakley and Raft River and they played at the 8-Man Classic. It's the only reason I can think of why they're ranked ahead of like a Wilder, for example. And head to head wins don't mean anything, because when you look at some of the other classifications, like in 4A and 2A, you have teams like last week, Declo lost to Nampa Christian head to head, yet was five spots ahead of Nampa Christian in the Max Preps rankings. The same thing is happening with Minico right now at the 4A level. A team they beat earlier this year is ranked ahead of them in the Max Preps rankings. So head to head doesn't seem to factor in. So it's really, you mentioned it. It's like getting the gold out of Fort Knox. No, nobody knows how to do it. Nobody knows how it works. Yeah. And we could sit here and talk for 4 hours about all the possibilities. It makes your head spin a little bit.
It does. And it's easier said than done. And we'll stick with the Wilder example, because at 5-2, barring a win over Notice this Friday, which would win them the Western Idaho Conference and would secure them seed 3A, I don't see even at potentially 5-3, I don't see them getting a high enough rating based on Max Prep's rankings. And so then you have to ask the question, if you're Kyle Dalsolio, who's not only head coach, but he's also the athletic director at Wilder, how can we avoid this going forward? How can we be a 5-6 win team that maybe because there's one team better than us in the conference, we're automatically locked out, you know? And, you know, they played Cary, they played Garden Valley, they played some good football teams, but like, you know, as to your point, if the name doesn't matter, but only the classification, is Dalsolio better off, you know, scheduling Glens Ferry than he is Cary? I would argue from a football standpoint, from a real live get on the field and test yourself standpoint, probably not. And that's not a dig at Glens Ferry. But if it protects your ranking a little bit more, maybe that's what you got to look at doing.
Yeah, I will plug one of the other prep casts that we do each week, Will, the Magic Valley prep cast. It's our District 4-based prep cast. But on this week's episode, Scott Burton is the co-host of that one. And, of course, he is an athletic director at Jerome High School. And we're going to do a deep dive into this Max Prep stuff, because he was able to actually talk to some people at Max Preps and find some answers. So everybody that's watching or listening to this, I highly recommend you tune into the Magic Valley Prepcast as well on idahosports.com, wherever you download your podcast.
Yeah,
it'll be a crash course for sure. So you'll definitely want to check that out, because it may help shed some light on exactly how this process works. Let's just start at the top and kind of work our way down in terms of Max Preps rankings and the 1A D2 ranks. Oakley number one right now, 89.2. Raft River second, 79.6. Like you mentioned, those two teams will play each other Friday. The winner gets the conference title, the automatic bye. The loser, they're in comfortably. That's a game, by the way, we're going to have on idahosports.com. I will be there Friday night for the call on video.
That's a good one. That's going to be a good one. And I've had people asking me for a while, hey, you going to be at that game? You going to be at that game? I want to be. Let's put it that way. It's largely weather driven, because I would, in theory, probably have my daughter with me, and I'm not going to have her go. She likes to go to games. I'm not going to have her go hang out in the rain and wind if it's 40 degrees or whatever. But if I'm not there, I will be watching.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be a fantastic game. This will finally prove if I'm an idiot or not, because all season long, when I vote in the media poll, I've had Raft River as my number one team. You see it every week, the little one in parentheses next to Raft River. That's been my vote all season long. I think they're better than Oakley, and I guess we'll find out if I'm smart or not on Friday.
You know, they're a legit team, and they've been, and Coach Chad Evans has done such a nice job there. And they talk about coaches kind of taking on the personality of their teams, or the other way around. I'm sorry, teams taking on the personality of their coaches. He's just kind of a no-nonsense, my experience with him, he's just kind of a no-nonsense, matter-of-fact guy. And he's got a very no-nonsense, matter-of-fact team. They just go out and do what they do. You know, Thane Lockmiller and Seth Tracy, they've got a very talented roster. They can absolutely, they're absolutely capable of winning this game. But, you know, as we've seen time and time and time again, boy, that Oakley team, especially on defense, they're just a beast, man. It's going to be a huge challenge. And, you know, it's a game. We'd have to see how the bracket physically lays out when it's all said and done. But it's a game we could see again in a month, no matter who wins it. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be surprised to see either of these teams playing well into the month of November.
Yeah, I think it could be a potential Final Four, Final Two preview for sure. And it's not – Oakley is very good too. I think Raft River is just a nudge better. But Oakley, all obviously – people think I hate Oakley. I don't. They're all obviously very talented as well. So Those are the top two. Butte County is currently third in the Max Preps rankings at 68.7. Prairie is fourth at 65.3. Prairie wrapped up the White Pine League. They're going to get that first round bye. Lapway is fifth at 49.2. Grace is sixth at 47.0. I feel like those six are all pretty comfortably in. Butte County and Grace will play to determine who wins, just like Raft River and Oakley, but correct, whoever loses is in. That's a good top six.
Yep. No, I completely agree with you. And then after that, And I think win or lose, the next team on the list would be Notice from District 3. I think even if they fall to Wilder, I think they're pretty safe. Obviously, if you know, you're Joe Woodland, if you're a Pirates player, you don't want to roll those dice, because without knowing the formula, you don't know for sure. But, you know, I think that they're, you know, you look at their number, they're sitting at 45.5. And you go down to some of those teams that are battling for those last few perceived at-large berths, they're in the low 30s. I don't know, but I wouldn't think that a loss to a 5-win and then 6-win Wilder team that would then be a conference champion as well, I don't think that's going to ding you 15 points. I wouldn't think, but we don't know.
I will tell you that there's going to be a lot of Notice fans on Friday, because if Wilder does win and defeats Notice, then Wilder, it's like March Madness. Wilder is stealing a bid from one of those teams up north, possibly that's fighting for the final playoff spot. So yeah. The easiest, cleanest way is Notice gets a win, but obviously we'll have to see how they do against Wilder. They're seventh in the current Max Preps rankings. And then here's where it gets interesting to me. Murtaugh at 8, 41.9. I think they're pretty solidly in, and they're actually finished with the regular season. They have a bye next week. Yep. So it'll be interesting for Coach Jensen and the Devils to kind of just sit back and scoreboard watch and try and figure out how this thing's going in real time.
Yeah. See where they're going to go. I mean, cause you wouldn't think, again, at 41.9, they're not going to suddenly drop that far by not playing. So I think they're in. It's just a matter of where they wind up when that bracket, you know, and it's, you know, not March Madness style, but when that bracket gets unveiled, you know, which line does Murtaugh see their name on? Where are they going? Who are they playing? What's the path? And they've had a pretty good season. They, you know, they ran into a couple buzzsaws midseason when they played some of the best teams in the state. But they've also had some really nice wins. It's a good group.
Yeah, it can be easy to get lost in the shuffle of the giant shadow of Raft River and Oakley, right? That's what happened to Lighthouse last year, and Lighthouse Christian ended up making the semifinals. So
correct. Yep,
you never know. Okay, so we've got 8 of 12, I think, are solidly in, and then we enter what I call the bubble, where it's not a guarantee that these next handful of teams are in. So there's basically three bids up for grabs, because the District 1 champion, which isn't ranked in the top 15 of Max Preps rankings.
Correct.
Somebody's going to win that league up north, Lakeside and or Wallace. They're playing each other Friday.
And if Wallace wins that game, because they play head-to-head twice.
Yep.
Lakeside won the first one. If Wallace wins the other one, that sets up a tiebreaker situation. And back in, July maybe, when I talked to head coach Jared Young of Wallace and I asked him, what is the tiebreaker? He just kind of went, I don't know. If it's 1-1, it can't be head-to-head. So I said, is it a point differential? Do you come back and play a tiebreaker on Monday? And he goes, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure. And he indicated he wasn't entirely sure it had been decided. So we don't know which way that goes. You know, that's a situation where Lakeside, the Knights have been beat up a little bit. Vander Brown missed some time, you know. And then Wallace has been a team that is just, they've taken baby steps and they've gotten a little bit better over the course of the season. Landon Streeter up there has had a really nice year. So whoever wins that game, if Lakeside wins, they're in. If Wallace wins, we may not know immediately when the game ends which of those teams goes. But you're right in that if you go by the Max Preps rankings, they are two of the lower ranked teams, and it's probably because they don't play a lot of D1 teams. There aren't a lot of D1 teams up there for them to play, and that's, you know, neither here nor there. They play a lot of Division IIs. They play out of state. They play who they can play, and one of them is going to be playing postseason football.
Well, I think Clark Fork and Mullen both are better competition than maybe a 1A D1 team they would pick up somewhere else.
So. I would agree. I mean, unless they're playing, you know, Prairie or Lapway or someone like that, you know, you're probably right. Those are two good football teams. And, you know, for, you know, we'll use Wallace as an example. Why wouldn't you play Mullen 10 minutes down the road? You know, why wouldn't you play them? You should play them. Whenever, you know, I'm a big fan of those rivalries. That's why I look at Genesee Kendrick, you know, that's a cross divisional one that's happening on Friday. That's a game that should be played. And, you know, whether or not it's the last game of the season, that's just how it works out. I still think it's a great matchup. And I think it's a game that needs to be on the schedule. It makes too much sense for those teams not to play.
Yep, for sure. So Lakeside won the first matchup with Wallace 56-52. So this rematch is a real toss-up. And I will say that I did reach out to Gerald Height, the athletic director at Lakeside, earlier this week. And he said if Lakeside should lose, it would go to a Kansas City playoff on Monday.
There you go.
Either in Post Falls or Coeur d'Alene.
So, there you go. Okay, so this has been educational for me. I should do this more often.
Yeah, well, it's been crazy. On Monday, it's awkward because I have to email all these athletic directors and say, hey, I know your team is probably going to win, or, you know, I know you don't want to think about if your team loses, but if it happens, you know, what's the situation here? So
yeah, and they're, I mean, they've got some explosive talent on that Lakeside team. They don't have a ton of depth, but they've got, you know, with Vander Brown and with Tucker Sanchez, they've got some kids who can really play. But, you know, Wallace, like I said, they've systematically over the course of the year, they've incrementally got better. And as a coach, that's what you like to see. You want to be playing your best football at the beginning of the year. And Wallace is playing better football now than they were playing, you know, Labor Day weekend.
Yep, for sure. So with the champion of district one up north, along with the eight we just mentioned, Oakley, Raft River, Butte County, Prairie, Lapway, Grace, Notice, and Murtaugh, that's 9 of the 12 playoff spots. So you've got three spots available for all the teams that are fighting. Here are the contenders: Genesee at 35.7, Potlatch at 30, Clearwater Valley at 25.3, Lighthouse Christian at 22.5. Glens Ferry and Wild are both 21.9. To me, that's where Kamiai's at 17.3. I don't think there's enough volatility in the rankings that Kamiai with a win would swing into a playoff spot. I think they're too far behind. But again, we don't know with this Max Preps rankings.
Yeah, and all those teams you just mentioned, every single one of them is, you know, calling their best friends in Notice saying, hey, take care of business. You know, we want three spots available, not two. I think Genesee is probably safe, just because, again, they play a Division II team this week. They play Kendrick. I don't know that their name drops much with the loss. I don't know. But you get down into Clearwater Valley, and you get down Lighthouse Christian and Glens Ferry. If I'm not mistaken, Kamiai plays Clearwater Valley, so there's probably a fair number of people in both Twin Falls, aka Lighthouse Christian, and Glens Ferry that are big Kamiai fans right now. You know, knock Clearwater Valley down a peg and maybe open up that spot. And if I'm not mistaken, those two teams, Lighthouse Christian and Glens Ferry, play each other. So that's a de facto elimination game that ultimately may not matter, because, you know, like let's say Wilder wins, and then that bumps Notice into an at-large pool. I think at that point, Colton Potlatch are pretty well set at 11 and 12, if you will, not literally, but in the listing of 1 to 12. But then again, I also think if Notice wins, you know, if Notice and Clearwater Valley win, I think that pretty well cements the 12 as well. Now, where they end up on the various lines, what the matchups are, the locations, the game times, that can all be sorted out. But I think the two games, as far as in terms of playoffs, the two games that are going to have the biggest impact, obviously Notice Wilder, I think that is number one. And then Clearwater Valley can basically firm up their spot with a win over Kamiai, which is by no means a given. Those are two old rivals. You know, Kamiai, they can jump up and bite you if you're not careful. They've got some good players there too. So that is by no means a certain thing. But if they can take care of business, I think that they I think that they kind of lock their bid.
I will say it's going to be very nerve-wracking for Genesee and Potlatch. Genesee plays Kendrick, where Kendrick's a good team. That game could go either way.
Very good.
If Genesee wins, I was talking about earlier, the computer only recognizes that it's, oh, hey, it's a 1AD2. Well, it's a really good 1AD2.
Yeah, but one of the best ones in the state.
Right. So there, I don't know how much that helps them if they win. If they lose, it could ding them because, hey, it's a 1AD2. You're supposed to win that game. Mm-hmm. And then with Potlatch, they're playing Lapway, which is going to be a difficult matchup for Potlatch. I will say that I think they're both in, but if for some reason, let's say they both fell, and mm-hmm. because of this Max Preps rating, they get leapfrogged, there's going to be a lot of angry people calling, I think, the IHSAA office.
Yeah, and think being the operative word there, Brandon. I mean, we don't know, because let's say, you know, and I'm just using them because they're currently higher on the line. Let's say Wilder beats Notice, so now we've eliminated one at-large spot, and let's say that Lighthouse Christian, you know, plays Glen Ferry and takes him out behind the shed. And then, like you say, Genesee loses, Potlatch loses. Do the numbers fluctuate enough where Lighthouse Christian can then jump up and maybe steal that last spot? Especially if you factor in Kamei beating Clearwater Valley to bring them down a peg. And I mean, we're really getting in the weeds here. People listening, I mean, if they don't have a pencil out and if they're not drawing lines and whatnot to try and figure it out,
right?
You know, there are some scenarios. I think the bottom line is there are some scenarios where things get, you know, very confusing. And I think you're right. I think, you know, Potlatch is in probably the most tenuous spot among the bubble teams because Lapway's good, man. They are good and they are fast and they are talented and they are athletic and they can get away from a team really fast. If Potlatch doesn't come out and play well, it could go not real well for the Loggers on Friday night. I don't expect that to happen, but it could. And then you're right. There's a little bit of a state of flux there where you kind of have to, you know, hold your breath a little bit and just kind of check those results and, okay, how did Notice do? How did Clearwater Valley do? You know, is anybody primed to maybe make a little jump here? And that's, you know, that's where for Ryan Ball and his staff and his players, you want to just avoid that by taking care of business and getting the win. That's the easiest way. You never want to put your outcome, your fate in someone else's hands.
Yeah, especially a computer's hands that doesn't have logic or reasoning. So
correct. There is no eye test with a computer. It's right. It's a mathematical formula, and whatever that formula is, we can debate that, you know, until, you know, Christmas becomes July. You know what I mean? And it can just go on and on and on and on forever. But, you know, the teams that can win if they do. I think there's a straight path of how this resolves itself fairly conflict-free. And Wilder fans won't want to hear it, but it includes them, you know, not beating Notice on Friday. You know, it includes Kamei not beating Clearwater Valley. I think that's the quote-unquote cleanest, simplest way for the 12 in Division I to set themselves.
Yep, I agree with that. So on idahosports.com Friday night, we will have the Oakley at Raft River game video coverage. You'll definitely want to tune into that, but we'll also have audio coverage of the Lapway at Potlatch contest. So you can listen along and find out, you know, how the Loggers are doing and how their playoff fate is handled in real time on idahosports.com, 7 o'clock kickoff Friday night. So those are the big games on the schedule. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and now we get to the easy part. The 1AD2 is where it's almost pretty much set at this point, but we'll step aside and hear from our sponsors, the Idaho Division of Public Health, and then we'll be right back here on the Idaho 8-Man Prepcast on idahosports.com.
It's time to start planning for back to school. That's why I got my kids vaccinated for COVID-19. Kids 12 and older can get vaccinated. The vaccines have been researched and tested. They're safe and they work. And I hope everyone will choose to get vaccinated too.
Back on the Idaho 8-Man Prepcast, idahosports.com, Brandon Bainey with Will Henneke. Let's transition into the 1AD2 ranks, where unlike 1AD1, it is all predetermined bracketing. This league gets this many bids. This team will be seeded here if they finish first place. So it's a lot easier to break down, Will.
And I was kind of mathing it out before we sat down to do this. And, you know, I made sure to use one of these instead of a pen because, you know, I think we got a pretty good idea outside of one spot. And that is CD out of District 4, where Hanson and Camas County are playing Friday and the winner will claim that fourth spot. The rest of the teams appear set. It's just some of the seeding is yet to be determined.
Right. If we just move district by district, District 1 up north, Mullen-St. Regis has had that spot wrapped up for a couple of weeks now. They will get a first round bye, and then they will travel to whoever wins between Cary and the second place finisher from District 3. We won't get too far into the bracket yet. We'll just tell you who clinched. Mullen-St. Regis is in from District 1. District 2, Kendrick has won the league. They get a first round bye. Last week, the big game was Timberline defeating Lewis County in a very high scoring affair.
Crazy game. Yeah, crazy game.
Timberline wins by the final score of 78-66. And for the second straight year, the good people of WEIPE are going to be celebrating in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Spartans had to overcome some COVID issues earlier this year, but, you know, credit to Coach Christofferson and his group. They battled through and they got in. Parker Brown, man, what a game he had on Friday night. And they're, you know, it's not going to be easy. You know, they're on that line where they'll be playing Cary. That's not a fun opener by any stretch of the imagination, but I guarantee you they would rather do that than be turning in their equipment.
Yeah, I was texting Lewis County coach Monty Modrell on Friday night about the game, and he kind of tongue-in-cheek jokingly texted me back and said, yeah, I guess we just didn't want to go play Cary.
Oh, man, and that was, you know, reading the Lewiston Tribune's write-up on it and whatnot. You know, Ty Hambley had a tremendous game for Lewis County, and it's how often are you ever in a football game going to have 42 points at halftime and be behind? But that's where Lewis County was, and it was a crazy game. Both teams playing for the right to basically keep playing past this week, and, you know, credit to the Spartans, credit to Timberline, they found a way to get it done.
Yeah, this is such a great story. They didn't even have a program a couple of years ago. They've had to rebuild this thing from the ground up, and now here they are. Coach Christofferson bringing the Spartans into the playoffs second straight year, so they will represent District 2 along with Kendrick. District 3, there are three bids available. Garden Valley is locked into that third slot, and the champion will be decided Friday night when Council plays Horseshoe Bend.
Horseshoe Bend has been fantastic all year, but if you look at Council, they got beaten by Notice in week one. Horseshoe Bend beat Notice. So if you want to play transitive properties, why bother playing the game, you know? But, you know, circumstances are what circumstances are. Since that game, Council's defense has given up exactly 12 points in four of the five games that they've played. So if that defense can show up, and it ain't going to be easy because, man, Horseshoe Bend, you know, with Colton Meyer, with Blaine Meyer, with Kalen Jones, with all the players that they have, they're an explosive offense. The key, in my opinion, my expert opinion, Council's going to have to make some stops. They'll score some points, but if it turns into a shootout, if it turns into Timberline Lewis County, advantage Horseshoe Bend, in my mind, no question about it. Council is going to have to get some stops. If they can keep Horseshoe Bend in the 20s or 30s, they got a shot to pull the upset and win the long pin.
Winner of that game will travel to Kendrick for the quarterfinal round. The loser of that contest gets a first round home playoff game. They're on the same side of the bracket as Cary, though, so that's kind of problematic. So big game there. In District 4, speaking of Cary, they win the league with their closest game of the season thus far. That was the big matchup on idahosports.com. Castleford taking on Cary. The Panthers won 32-22, so they'll take first. Castleford will finish second. I think these two teams more than lived up to the hype around that game.
They did, absolutely, and the game lived up to the hype too, even though it wasn't the cleanest game. You know, Castleford had some penalty problems. Cary put the ball on the ground a few times, but, you know, these are the kinds of games that win you Player of the Year honors. They win you All-State. They win you Coach of the Year in terms of individual accolades. And, you know, Connor Simpson staked his claim, 231 yards rushing and 5 touchdowns against the number 2 team in the state. I mean, that's that's saying something. You know, he had a fantastic game, and when his team needed a play, he made it. And it reminded me, watching him, reminded me of a conversation that I had with a coach earlier this year who has faced Kerry before. And he said, the thing that's crazy about Connor Simpson, he's small, but he's stout. You know what I mean? He's not a little wispy twig. He's 5'3", but he's solidly built. And he said, the thing that if you underestimate how quickly he gets to full speed, he's going to run right by you. And it's not that he has 4.3 speed. It's not the insane, just overall, like 100-meter dash speed. It's how fast he goes metaphorically from 0 to 60. And maybe when you have shorter legs and a smaller frame, that's easier to do. But he said, you know, when we played him, we had the wrong angle on him every time because he got to full speed so fast that our safeties and our linebackers would think they had the angle and they'd get to the spot and Simpson would be 10 yards further downfield. And we saw that a little bit. I mean, he ran tough. That was the thing I liked to see. He got behind his pads and he ran tough. But when he got a crease, he blew through that crease so fast that you had to be thinking 10, 15 yards downfield as a defender, or else you didn't have a chance.
Yeah, he is definitely an X factor for Kerry as they embark on what they hope is another championship run. So it was a good game, though. Kerry takes first. Castleford takes second. They're on opposite sides of the bracket. Could be a rematch in the championship, but there's a lot of good teams that will have a say in that as well. But it was a good matchup for a day. After that, Dietrich is locked into the third slot. Dietrich will play Kerry this Friday. We'll actually have that game on idahosports.com live video coverage.
You got some good ones coming up on Friday. How am I going to keep them all straight here?
Yeah, you're going to have to get a red zone type setup where you've got multiple windows open on your computer.
And, oh, yeah. Yep.
Juggling
back. The little four box down in the corner. I make a lot of use of that bad boy, especially during the playoffs.
Yes, that's a nice feature we have on idahosports.com. So Dietrich is the third seed. They're locked into that position. And then the fourth seed will come down to this Hanson at Camas County matchup in Fairfield. Hanson's 1-5, Camas County 1-6. No disrespect to either one of those programs, but Clark Fork is a better team than both of those teams. And again, I don't want to harp on this too much, but it's really unfortunate and disappointing that the Wampus Cats have to sit home. And for one of these teams, it's exciting. They'll get to go to the playoffs between Hanson and Camas County.
Yeah. It's a perspective issue where you could say, you know, for Hanson and Camas County, it's great that two one-win teams are playing for something in late October. For them, that's the ultimate carrot to dangle, but you're right. From the Clark Fork standpoint, you know, hey, we're 6-2, 5-2, whatever their final record wound up being. And, you know, we're sitting at home getting ready for basketball season while these teams are still playing. And it is the two sides of the same coin debate where, and we talked about it last week, it's where I would prefer more of a seeding, whether or not Max Preps is what you use. But, you know, have some at large. Give yourself a little wiggle room in a situation like this where it's not, you know, a pair of one-win teams duking it out for, you know, potentially the right, quote unquote, to go play perhaps North Gem, one of the best teams in the state. And then you ask yourself, okay, let's play this forward a little bit. And again, don't read into this that we are dogging Hanson or we are dogging Camas County. Which team presents a better matchup for North Gem? Is it a 5 or 6 win Clark Fork team or is it a 1 win Camas County or Hanson team? I don't know that that's an arguable position. I think it's Clark Fork all the way, but this is the setting we have. So this is what we go with.
Yep. So the only playoff spot that isn't decided yet is this game here between Hanson and Camas County. So we'll see how that game shakes out. District 5 and 6, the Rocky Mountain Conference gets 3 bids. Water Springs is locked into that third slot. And then Rockland and North Gem will play on Friday for first and second place. That should be a fun game.
It should be a fun game, and I want to go back to that Water Springs one for a second. They played Castleford earlier this year and actually had a 2-touchdown lead in that game. So they go into a prospective playoff matchup, because that's what it would be at the top of the whatever they call it, the opening round or whatever. That gives them a reason for a lot of confidence going into that game. And with Drew Plocker, they have one of the more explosive players in the state. You know, he's thrown for comfortably over 1,000 yards. He's run for comfortably over 1,000 yards. And, oh, by the way, I think he's got 3 kickoff returns for touchdowns, and he's one of their top tacklers on defense. So, you know, that's a game that Castleford can't afford to just kind of sleepwalk through and get ready for that next round matchup. But then you get into North Gem and Rockland. I mean, could you have two more different 8-man football teams? You know, one team snaps it to its quarterback, a fantastic athlete, and tells him to make a play. And God knows he's made a ton of plays this year. And that's Bridger Hatch. The other team has a 6'4" wide receiver who can high point a ball among the best in the state at any level. You throw it up for him, he's had multiple 200-yard receiving games. Teague Matthews in Rockland, you know, if they get a favorable matchup, it's, you know, this could be the ultimate Wild West shootout. You know, it really could. It may come down to, you know, which happens better. Can Rockland's defense close running lanes, or can North Gem cover the Rockland receivers? Whichever one of those happens better might be the ultimate decider in who wins that game.
Contrasting styles for sure. That's a 4:00 kickoff in Bancroft. I like these venues that don't have lights, because they kick off earlier in the day, and you know, by the time, you know, we're getting ready for our broadcast at 7:00, we know, hey, these guys won, these guys lost. It helps out a lot on the broadcast side for sure.
Especially when you're doing some of those 8-man broadcasts like Dietrich Carey. Not that Dietrich or Carey is directly impacted by who wins that game, but it helps establish the bracket a little bit. And so, you know, the broadcasters can talk a little bit about it. It's a talking point. And as soon as the game is over, you know, both Coach Kirkland at Carey and Coach Estelle at Dietrich, they're going to know, okay, Team X won. So they are on line X and this team is on line Y. So now we see how it lines up and we can start game planning for the playoffs.
Yeah, we are 1 week away from the postseason. We'll have lots to talk about next week, of course, as the matchups will actually be set. We can actually start breaking down some of these matchups and making predictions and picks and all that fun stuff that the fans love to taunt us about. So.
Are you going to make me predict when Paul can't make it again next week?
We'll see. We'll play it by ear. How's that sound?
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Will Henneke, thank you for stopping by again here on the Idaho 8-Man Prepcast. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. For Will, I'm Brandon. We'll see you next time on the Idaho 8-Man Prepcast on idahosports.com.